Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible. This program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, everybody. Happy Monday, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, Walt Disney launches Pride Collection clothing line aimed at grooming babies for the LGBTQIA+ movement. Walt Disney recently launched their Pride Collection featuring the Mickey Mouse bodysuit for baby adorned with the colors of the rainbow. Expressive Mickey Mouse shares the love from this soft cotton bodysuit featuring rainbow graphics and stitched trims. Baby will lead the parade as your pride and joy, the item description reads. The Pride movement wants your children from the cradle, and Walt Disney has just thrown down the gauntlet. Genesis 13:13 says, "But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, Walt Disney World and Disneyland are becoming dystopian battlegrounds in the grooming and recruiting of children as members of the LGBTQIA+ movement. In California, a transgender man wearing a dress working at the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique at Disneyland greets biological girls to sell them dresses. At Walt Disney World in Florida, gay days have turned the fantasy land into Vanity Fair from the Pilgrim's Progress and into Sodom and Gomorrah from the Bible. As we have long told you, the Pride movement started seeking only tolerance, then acceptance, then equality. And what do they want now? They want dominance. They want the whole thing. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, we show you the stunning rise of child grooming and recruiting movements taking place not only at Walt Disney, but all across corporate America as well. The Bible says this in Luke chapter 17. This is the companion passage to Matthew chapter 24. But in Luke chapter 17, we read this, starting in verse 26, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man shall be revealed." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, God. The chat room is filling up and hundreds of people are listening live, and thousands will be hearing this in the archives. And we just pray that something would be said and done that would lead a lost soul to you today. And we pray that something would be said and done that would set a saved soul on fire for you in these last days. On our salvation list today, we're praying for Sarah and Eric and Becky Jacobs, Greg and Melissa Price, Glenn Clark, Jeanette's granddaughters, Trevor, Derek, Adam, and Roland Carrier and their families, my three brothers, John, Jimmy, and David, and Jesse and his mom for salvation. On the healing list, we're still praying for Anetta to get a full healing after having a stroke a year ago. She has trouble walking on her own, and we're praying that her left arm and her left leg will come back online soon. Robert Wiley is battling ALS disease. Rob Beatty is battling stage 4 colon cancer. Clayton Perry is suffering from the side effects of chemotherapy. Aaron Riddle's sister Tracy has metastatic breast cancer. Shira Shine will be seeing the doctor on Wednesday. Please pray that it goes well. Also, please remember her three children, Nicole, Sherry, and Scott. Shira Shine's pastor, Pete Dallas, has been battling cancer for 5 years and needs our prayers. Jill Puckett is losing her vision. Paul Caulfield, he's battling type 1 sugar diabetes. Patricia Alliston would like prayer for her husband, Ron, who has cancer. Sharon Hansen, she has dementia, and we are praying for her. Gary says, please remember my friend Carrick from Pennsylvania. And Mike1611, I don't see it on the list. I don't know why we keep forgetting to put this on the list. Nope, I take it back. It's on the list. Rob says, my friend Mike has MS and is struggling. Please keep him on the list. And he is. Gary is wants prayer for his friend Carrick with MS. Dina Kruger says, please keep Katrina in your prayers. She has ongoing brain problems. And her son Jordan needs to get saved. And her mom Marcy is battling colon cancer. Cindy Kettlecamp is very glad that we continue to pray for her daughter, Brooke, who is on the autism spectrum below the middle. My friend Krista Ray is battling a tumor in her chest wrapped around 5 of her ribs. Dan Kane, please pray for my wife, Roxy, with MS, and my son, Jonathan. Sharon DeGanius, we are continuing to pray for her and everything that she's going through in the rehab center. Annette has a torn meniscus in her left knee. Bobby Mathias says, please pray for my mom. Kelly Hollowell and Bobby Mathias's mom has ongoing health issues. Kelly Hollowell, she was in a bad accident and she had to have her entire arm rebuilt. And she has pins and rods and all sorts of things. Please pray for her soon recovery. Chuck needs to go on dialysis, and he's anxious about that. Marianne Ellie, please pray for my kids, John, Anne Marie, and Christine, to get saved. And my grandkids, Sophia, Jacob, David, and Katrina. Carol from Georgia, please pray for Uncle Marion with terminal cancer, Aunt Jo, and unsaved cousins in New Mexico. Carolyn Marks has a lump, a painful lump that has reappeared. Rhiannon, I still don't have an update on this, but please give us an update on Uncle Lester, who was put on life support. Ralph and Tracy Wallace, please pray for my son Ethan to get saved and my daughter Shannon to come back to the Lord, as well as my grandson Caden to get saved. Harmon's son Michael has colon cancer. Daniel B. from Canada has a damaged vocal cord. Beth Peck, please continue to pray for my husband David for salvation, as well as my children Heather and Damien and my in-laws who are Catholic. Ricky Gouda in the Netherlands says, please pray for me. I am alone with bad eyesight. And please pray for my daughter Nortje and my son Martin and brother Paul. All unspoken prayer, please. We're praying for baby Beckham, who came into the world last Wednesday with a cleft palate and Pierre Robin syndrome. And we are praying that he will get all the medical help and assistance that he needs as he starts his young life. Patty Rogalski, her husband Jerry passed away on June 3rd. Please remember the entire Rogalski family in your prayers. Kyle Gorzel, Uncle David, is having surgery, and they are attempting to mitigate his cancer by any means that they can use. Carolyn A., please pray for my niece's husband. He had a heart attack, only 45 years old, also dealing with cancer. Sarah Riddles, her dad passed away over the weekend, and he is in heaven with the Lord. So please keep Sarah and the entire Riddles family in your prayers, please. Ladies who are expecting, Kelsey Emerson, Erin Riddle, Gary Tatterson's daughter Kayla gave birth to Maggie and Ezekiel last week, and that's a great praise report, and we rejoice with them. Linda and Joe LaPiana's son and daughter-in-law are expecting. April's niece, Shelby, is expecting. Terry Bryant's daughter, Jillian. Heather's daughter is pregnant and unsaved. Shira Shine's daughter-in-law is expecting. Cindy and Steve Britt, they have a granddaughter who is expecting. And Sandra C's daughter, Christina, we found this out last week, is pregnant and due in late October. So please pray for all the moms, the babies, the dads, and the doctors involved, and the nurses on the expectant mom list. Mark Saxo would like prayer for his son Joseph to return to the Lord. Aunt Nancy would like prayer for Brandon and Michelle to get saved. Leslie needs prayer that the Lord will order and reorder an urgent financial situation. Also, we are continuing to pray for Rita's son Dan in Colorado. Please remember Dan in your prayers, please. Palmetto State guy is thankful that we're praying for his mom, Eunice, and his dad, Paul, with health issues. Joni is praying for Ashley, Clint, Ember, Knox, Lucas, Brian, Mary, and Dee to get saved. My son, Calvin, he needs your prayer. The Lord knows why. Jill Hall, please pray for Carly to get saved. I gave her a Bible, and we will continue to pray for that. Jeanette says, I still need a weekend caregiver. Brenda says, my husband Mike is an alcoholic who is saved, but he needs to get off the bottle. And we're praying for that. Linda would like prayer for her daughter Danielle, who is in Germany right now. Deborah Lee, 23. Please pray to get my marriage finalized. The Lord's will be done. And we'll be happy to pray for that. Unspoken prayer requests. The LaPiana family, Jeanette, Marie C., Adrian P. Breda, Chris Hart, Kate, John Bayor, Dr. Shirley, Jericho, Henry Biggs, Debbie, her children and her grandchildren, Dana Bragdon, I Have One, Lori Has One, Rachel Adams, Dave Evans, and Julius all have unspoken prayer requests today. And let's go to the chat room and see what we have. Jill says, praise report, and thank you for those who prayed yesterday. I was able to sell my fifth wheel. Amen. And that had been on and off the prayer list for quite some time, and we rejoice with Jill in her praise report. Today is Sarah Riddle's birthday. She's not on because she is taking care of everything that needs to be taken care of. And I know exactly the type of pressure and the things that you have to get done when you have a mom or a dad that dies, and all the arrangements that have to be made, and all the people that have to be notified. And it's rough. It's rough. So, Sarah, when you listen to this, we are praying for you. We are going to wish you a happy birthday. When we're done praying, I'm going to play happy birthday, and we're all going to wish you a happy birthday. And we are sad to hear that your dad has passed away, but he has passed on to be with the Lord in heaven, and we rejoice in that aspect of it. Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, Mike Crabb would like to be put on the unspoken prayer list again. Amen. Amen. Julius needs to get on the unspoken prayer list as well. So, Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we thank you, we praise you, we come before you, and Lord, we ask you to heal that which needs to be healed on any level for any reason, physical, spiritual, emotional. Lord, people need a physical healing today. People need a spiritual healing today. People need an emotional healing today. And your word says in Isaiah chapter 61, Isaiah chapter 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, And we pray today, Lord, for the brokenhearted. And that passage in Isaiah 61:1 is a prophecy of Jesus Christ, which is confirmed in Luke chapter 4. And Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest unto your souls. Come and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And we pray for a light burden today, Lord, and we pray that you would hear every one of these praise reports and prayer requests. And God, we come before you with thanksgiving and a humble heart. And we thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy, and for everything you do, Lord. We commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's take a moment and let's wish a happy birthday to Sarah Riddles.
It's your birthday. It's the day that you were born. It's the day your mama brought you home. It's a special day. Let us celebrate.
And I'm seeing in the chat room that that is, CJ is saying that Rob Beattie's birthday is today as well. So we wish a very happy birthday to Sarah and a very happy birthday to Rob Beattie. And with that, let's get started with the podcast today. And what are we talking about today? Well, Disney, they have released their Pride collection. And as the name would imply, they are very, very proud of their Pride collection. And the bulk of what they have is for young children. And this year is a little bit different because what they're doing is they are targeting babies. We have had for many, many months now, we have had our expectant mom list, and we talk about babies on every broadcast and women who are expecting and women giving birth and all these different things which are taking place. We are very focused on babies. And as it turns out, the Pride movement is very focused on babies as well. And so Disney has released last week their 2023 Pride collection, and they are going all the way down to newborn babies that they are targeting and marketing to. And why would they do this? Why on earth would you have baby clothes that would promote a movement based on a sexual preference? Now, if you had to ask yourself, why on earth would anybody, like whoever, would think that that would be a good idea to target babies? I'm talking babies that are 6 months to a year old. Why on earth would Disney, the family channel? I can remember growing up and Sunday night at 7 o'clock, from 7 to 7:30, we watched Marvin Perkins' Wild Kingdom, which was sponsored by the Mutual of Omaha. And then at 7:30 on the Peacock Network, we would watch the Disney program. And my parents were very, very happy that we were watching the Disney program and shows like Wild Kingdom. And they were considered very, very family friendly. I just saw that Trisha said, please pray for baby Beckham. He has lost 1 pound so far and is getting weaker. He needs to gain weight. They are adding calories, but specific prayers would be appreciated. So please put baby Beckham at the top of your prayer list, and that would be great. So what is Walt Disney doing? Well, they're targeting children, and not just children, they're targeting babies. And I have given you this statistic many, many times, and I'll give it to you again. When we started Now the End Begins back in 2009, the number of people, according to the United States Census, that identified as being a part of the LGBT movement was 2.3% of the nation's population. So back when Now the End Begins first got started, 2.3% of the American population, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, identified as LGBTQ or some other letter of the alphabet. But here in 2023, that number has risen dramatically and shockingly to 7.2%. What could possibly be the reason that that would go up as drastically as it has? And the reason for that, is there has been grooming happening on every single level. You remember about 10 years ago, they passed something called the Common Core Curriculum. And the way that every public school in the United States teaches their students drastically changed. And so for the past decade, you have had grooming happening on every single possible level. I want to play this audio. It's only 44 seconds long. And I just have to set it up. If you could see the video, it would make perfect sense. But let me just explain to you what's happening in this audio clip that I'm about to play for you. You have children walking into a public school. This week, in a lot of schools, especially up in the Northeast, this is the last week of school for a large sector of public school children. And this is what was playing as they came walking through the door on the first day of Pride Week last week on June 1st. And I want you to imagine all of these kids, and we're talking about hundreds of children, walking through the door of their local public school. They're walking under an inflatable rainbow archway, and all the teachers are wearing rainbow clothes. They're waving pride flags, and they are indoctrinating every single public school student that walks through the door, and this is what it sounded like. It's in the air, I see my blood is stretching on. There ain't no reason, there'll be no joy. So I hope you were able to get the flavor of what was happening in that clip. Just picture hundreds of children in elementary school walking into school, and there is a phalanx, that is to say, a line of teachers walking lined up down the hallway, and every single one of those students was made to walk under a inflatable. Let me see if I can put the video into the chat room so you guys can, because you really have to get the flavor of this. Yeah, here it is. Here it is. I'm going to put this video into the chat room and just take a second and just open up that video. And it's only 44 seconds long, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And so over the last 10, 11, 12 years, we have watched the number of people in America that identify as being part of the LGBTQ plus movement go from 2.3% to 7.2%. I am not good at math, but I know that that is at least a 300% increase. 2.3 times 3 is 6.9. So it is just a little bit past a 300% increase in people who identify as part of the LGBT plus movement. And Disney has launched their 2023 Pride Collection. And this Pride Collection is geared at babies in the crib. And that's how far down that they're going. Now, back in the 1970s, you had the rise of the LGBT movement. And the only thing that they wanted is they wanted tolerance. That's all that they wanted. They just wanted the freedom to live their life the way that they choose to live their life. And among consenting adults, I don't have a problem with that. We live in America. America is not a theocracy. We used to follow the Bible a whole lot more than we do now because we don't follow it as a nation at all now. But there was a day when America was linked closely with the King James Bible. And that is one of the reasons why God has blessed this nation to the degree that he has. Back in the 1700s, and let me see if I can just quickly get my hands on this article. Back in the 1700s, there was a man by the name of, and let me see, here it is, a man by the name of Robert Aitkins, and God used him to get the King James Bible to be the very first Bible that was ever printed in the colonies. So if you go back to the 1700s, the very first Bible that was ever printed in the United States of America was the King James Bible. That became a textbook for institutions of higher learning, so-called, like Yale and Harvard and Princeton. All three of those colleges and universities had the King James Bible as their main textbook. And so how did America get to the position where we were so highly favored by God? Isaiah chapter 65, verse 1. I am sought of them that asked not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. It is true that the Puritans brought over the Geneva Bible when they came to what would soon be known as the United States. But in those halcyon days of the American Revolution, there was a different Bible that was stuck in the pockets of the soldiers in the Continental Army. What became known as the Bible of the Revolution was Robert Aitken's 1771 King James New Testament. And it was the Bible that ushered in victory for the fledgling patriots. By 1782, Aitken had secured the backing of Congress to publish the entire King James Bible, and then 1 year later, the war would be over, and America would officially and formally be a free nation. Now, those early Americans in the late 1700s, they were not confused about the power behind the word of a king from Ecclesiastes 8:4. And it was no accident or coincidence that the King James Bible was the foundation upon this nation, and it was granted victory by Almighty God. In 1782, the Aitken King James Bible was endorsed by Congress for use in American schools. In 2023, that same Congress now considers the Bible in schools to be hate speech. We did an article over the weekend. Let me just pull that article up. In Utah, they have banned the King James Bible in Utah in the Davis School District. And how did the King James Bible get banned in Utah? Well, because the same people who are mad that the books about groomers and all this other stuff are no longer being allowed in public school libraries, and that a drag queen story hour is being allowed in less and less places, well, now they're fighting back. And now we're starting to see the King James Bible becoming a banned book again in the state of Utah. So how far will this spread? I have no idea how far that this will spread, but I do know this. I do know this, that in 2023, we live in a nation that is not ruled by the King James Bible or any Bible. And Walt Disney used to be a family-friendly company. Parents used to be thrilled if their kids wanted to watch a Disney movie. One of the reasons why Disney World and Disneyland became so incredibly popular is because they were considered to be family friendly. But as I pointed out on the podcast last week, when Walt Disney, in his mind, in his very fertile creative brain, when he was imagining Main Street USA, and what it would look like if he ever got the money to build his theme park, he pictured the old-fashioned courthouse and the general store and the businesses that used to line Main Street prior to World War I, and the horses and carriages and the firehouse and the local police and the little one-room schoolhouse. But there was one thing that Walt Disney did not include in his Main Street USA. There was no church house. He didn't put one in Disneyland in California, and he did not put one in Disney World in Orlando, Florida. So when Walt Disney imagined a utopian America, it was a utopian America that did not include God, the Bible, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, or anything like that. And the change over the last 5 or 6 decades has been slow and almost imperceptible if you're not paying attention. But if you go back to the 1950s and then you go to Twitter today, you're going to see two worlds that are so different, it's almost as if they could not possibly have anything to do with each other. That's the world that we live in. The world that my father raised me up in does not exist on any level. You have to go to a museum. You have to look at the paintings of people like Norman Rockwell. It just does not exist. So, I haven't played this clip in a while. This is 11-year-old Ainsley Bikondi. And her whole family, they've been NTEBers for quite some time now. And 2 years ago, Ainsley, I guess she would be 13 now. But 2 years ago, she stood up in front of her public school board And this is what she said.
Dr. Asifa and school board members, my name is Ainsley Bacondi, and I'm going to speak on mental health in our public schools. Mental health is very important to children and teenagers because they have lots on their plates and they are learning new skills every day. Some people say they need counselors or therapists, but in my opinion, I think God is the only one who can help you. Yes, a counselor or therapist may help you learn coping skills, but God is the only one who can heal you completely inside and out. There is never going to be real healing unless God is involved. Another reason there is mental health crisis is that some counselors in the public school are pressuring kids like me that I might be gay or trans and encourage me to rebel against parents and church. For example, at the last board meeting, there is a counselor sitting next to me and my mom. She started arguing with me if we had inappropriate books in our library. If a counselor is that way in front of my mom, what would she be like when my parents aren't present? You see, the Bible clearly shows what happens when we forget about God. It is detailed in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, and verse 20, we start worshiping things rather than God. In verse 27, there is the rise of the LGBTQ movement. And then in verse 28, people develop a depraved mind not being able to think correctly. What is the solution to the mental health crisis? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 tells us that it is God who gives us a sound mind. God, through his son Jesus Christ, will save you and give you a sound mind. If you want these types of counselors and therapists in our schools, then you need God. I will be praying for you. Thank you.
So that was 11-year-old Ashley Bacondi, and she stood up in front of her public school board when they were having a meeting, and she rebuked them. And that's what we need to see more of. That's what we need to see more of. We need to see Christians standing up, not conducting violent attacks. Christians aren't supposed to be violent. If you're one of those violent Christians, well, you're the Apostle Paul doesn't know anything about a violent Christian. In Acts chapter 5, this is how Peter, James, and John reacted to some very harsh treatment by the school board of their day. Acts chapter 5, 40 through 42. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You know, back when we started the street preaching ministry in 2012, every single one of the street preachers that God gave me were military men. They were Marines and Coast Guard and Air Force. And every single one of those guys carried a gun when we went street preaching. But you know what conclusion that we came to? The conclusion that we came to, that while we were representing the Lord Jesus Christ and preaching the gospel from the King James Bible and holding scripture signs and handing out gospel tracts, we all came to the mutual conclusion that we would not fight back if we were attacked. That was the conclusion that we came to. And we based it on how the apostles, Peter, James, John, Paul, Barnabas, Silas, we based it on how the apostles chose to react to the persecution that they were experiencing. And Denise is asking me a question about that video that I posted in the chat room. Did I mention something? Did it mention something about there being no Jesus? I only found that video 10 minutes before the show started. I haven't had time to put on the headset and listen to the background, but I certainly will, and I'll let you know about that. but it's absolutely quite possible. It's quite possible. So, getting back to our topic at hand, Disney has decided that they are going to be the premier company that is going to lead the charge into grooming children for the LGBTQIA plus movement. Now, one of the reasons why they're doing that, why would a company like Disney do that? Well, in 2022, an audio was released, and it showed you very, very clearly the woke agenda that Disney quietly began to roll out. Take a listen to this clip showing you Disney's woke agenda revealed in leaked audio.
Meantime, in other news, remember last week we told you a story about how a number of Disney employees walked off the job last week because they felt that Disney did not do enough to oppose a bill that passed in Florida. It's HB House Bill 1557. And what that bill does, because it has been signed by Governor DeSantis, is it prohibits teachers from providing instruction on sexual orientation and gender identity to children between the ages of kindergarten and third grade. So they just don't want teachers talking to kindergartners, first, second, and third graders about sexual orientation or gender identity. So that we knew for sure because that was in public where they walked off the job. But now Chris Rufo, a journalist, posted on Twitter some videos that show pretty much exactly what Disney behind the scenes is thinking. Watch this.
Roberts and like our leadership over there has been so welcoming to like my like not at all secret gay agenda. And so like I feel like I felt like it was, I mean, like maybe it was that way in the past, but I guess like something must have happened in the last like they are turning it around, they're going hard. And then all that like momentum that I felt, like that sense of I don't have to be afraid to like, let's have these two characters kiss. Let's in the background. This, like, I was just wherever I could, just basically adding queerness to like, if you see anything queer in the show, I'm proud of them. But like, I just was like, no one would stop me and no one was trying to stop me.
So it's not at all secret agenda anymore, because that video, which was apparently an all hands meeting about the Florida law, now, Chris Rufo has posted that on Twitter, and everybody's talking about the woke agenda of the world of Disney.
Well, Disney was hesitant to react to this bill at first. They got a lot of backlash, the walk-offs. People, they say that customers and employees were complaining, why aren't you getting involved? Why aren't you stopping Ron DeSantis and the Florida legislature from this? And then Disney comes out and they oppose it strongly and they say that they're going to work to repeal it. But the Florida legislators, they make a good point. They said students can talk about whatever they want to bring up in the classroom to their teachers. But sometimes the right answer from the teacher is you really ought to talk to your parents about that subject. Keep in mind, these are kids K through third grade. And if these teachers breach the bill, the parents can sue.
By the way, this is not a gray area. This is a smart bill that came out of the Republican-dominated legislature.
All right, so I'll stop that clip there. Just to get you up to speed, last year, Ron DeSantis introduced a bill that would prevent public schools from teaching preschool children about gender identity. I don't know about you, but I think that that's a great bill. Now, that's not an attack on the LGBTQ plus movement in any way, shape, or form. That is simply protecting very young children. But as you can see with what Disney has done this year with their Pride collection, Disney wants the very, very young children. And so what are they doing? They are recalibrating their music and their movies and their streaming service offerings. And what is Disney doing? They are grooming and recruiting children for the LGBTQ plus movement. That's exactly what they're doing. Now, we published an article back in 2017, and this was the headline, LGBTQ activists praise Disney Junior Channel for advancing same-sex agenda to preschool age children. Now, we published this article 6 years ago, and listen to the first sentence of what I wrote. When I first began to report about 2 years ago, that would have been 2015, that Walt Disney was getting ready to become a major voice for indoctrinating children with the LGBTQ agenda, I was roundly booed and jeered by Christians who thought I was, quote, off my rocker and awash in conspiracy theory. So we began to publish articles about how Walt Disney World was conspiring to recruit and groom very, very young children. And back in 2014, 2015, when we began to publish articles about that, I got a lot of hate mail from Christian parents who said that none of what I was saying was true, that it was a vicious conspiracy theory lie, and that they were no longer going to read the articles from NowTheEndBegins.com. That was 2015, 2016, 2017. And then in 2018, 2019, and 2020, Disney began to come out of the closet. And they began to reveal everything that I said that they were working on. And the Disney that you see in 2023 is the Disney that I told you 8 years ago was coming. And now it's here. And now their Pride collection is aimed at toddlers who are 6 months, 7 months, 12 months, 18 months, 24 months old. Little tiny babies. That's who Disney is going after. But Disney has had a lot of changes over the last 20 or 30 years. Let's take a listen to this.
Disney has helped to shape the American culture. Over the years, a Disney store has become an institution, a symbol for middle-class families living the dream. However, today, it looks like the Magic Kingdom is crumbling down. The largest share of Disney's public, middle-income households, are struggling to afford Disney tickets, Disney products, and Disney streaming services. And that is putting the company in a very complicated financial situation. With expenditures surpassing profits, the entertainment giant is now dealing with some billionaire losses that are leading to mass layoffs, business shutdowns, and an internal reorganization as it tries to survive the storm. CEO Bob Iger is warning about major challenges for 2023, and millions of fans will likely be devastated to lose their local Disney stores in the months ahead. When Disney started opening stores throughout the United States in the late 1980s and early 90s, fans were completely thrilled by the fact that they would have access to Disney accessories and action figures without having to go on a trip all the way down to its famous theme park in Orlando to be able to celebrate their favorite movie characters. At that time, prices were reasonable, and the company's products were very popular amongst Americans, young and old. The success was so great that Disney expanded its operations to overseas markets, and at one point, there were over 1,000 Disney stores worldwide. Like the Disney parks themselves, the Disney store originated in California, with the first store opening in the Glendale Galleria on March 28, 1987. What fueled this popularity, apart from its legion of fans, was the fact that this was no mere storefront with a handful of Disney goods inside. Rather, the Disney store revolutionized a whole new field of retailtainment, creating an experience for shoppers that went beyond the tangible goods being sold.
So one of the reasons why Disney, over the years, began to align themselves with the LGBTQ plus movement largely had to do with the economics of the situation. They had begun raising their prices in the early 2000s, going into the teens, and With each passing year, it got more and more and more expensive. Then it became prohibitively expensive to visit their theme parks. And Disney has built this entire empire, and now there needs to be a way to continue to fuel that empire. And what does that empire run on? That empire runs on money. And without that, Disney will crumble. So they made the decision about 10 years ago that they were going to align themselves with the LGBTQ plus movement, that they were going to align themselves with the pro-abortion movement. We did an article a couple of years ago where the head of Disney, he said that Walt Disney would no longer continue to film in the state of Georgia if they outlawed abortion. And so, and that was, I think we published that article on June 1st of 2019. And so with each passing year, Disney is getting more and more entrenched into the woke, liberal, non-family friendly, LGBTQ plus whatever acronym you want to put in there, movement, because that's what they need to have to fund the empire that they have created. And so back in 2019, Disney said this: "I rather doubt we will continue shooting in Georgia. I think many people who work for us will not want to work there, and we will have to heed their wishes in that regard. I do not see how it's practical for us to continue to shoot movies in Georgia." And that was from an article on USA Today from Disney CEO Bob Iger. And he said, he threatened, he promised that if a ban in the state of Georgia on abortion went into effect, that Disney would no longer film movies there. So the idea that Walt Disney is a family-friendly organization is 100% not true. If you're a Christian, if you believe the Bible on any level, Walt Disney and everything that they do, they are anti-family. Or should I say, they want to remake the family into their LGBTQ plus family model. That's what their goal is. And so everything that they're releasing and everything that they're doing is all aimed at the destruction of the biblical family. And when I say biblical family, I mean Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. That's the family that God has in mind. That's what we call the biblical family. And God decreed that one man and one woman would come together, Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, we'll look at 21 through 25. "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to come up, to fall upon Adam, and he slept and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and we're not ashamed." So when we say a biblical family, when we say biblical family, that's what we're talking about. One man, one woman, And if they can have babies, that's great. If for whatever reason they can't have babies, well, then that's just how God decreed it to be. But that is the biblical family that God has in mind. The family that Walt Disney has in mind. I'm going to post a picture in the chat room. This is the family that Disney has in mind. And I'm posting two pictures from what they call the Disney Gay Days. And that's where they encourage LGBTQ plus people of all varieties to come to the Magic Kingdom and put on a red shirt and show your support for the LGBTQ plus movement. And so there we have Walt Disney 2023, one of the most unfamily, or is it family unfriendly, companies that you could possibly ever come across. And people talk about boycotting Bud Light and boycotting Busch Beer and boycotting Target. No Christian should be supporting anything that Disney World does. You shouldn't have Hulu. You shouldn't have Disney Plus streaming services. You shouldn't be buying anything with a Disney logo on it for your children or your grandchildren. You definitely should not be taking vacations to Disneyland or Disney World. Anheuser-Busch has lost $28 billion, with a B, dollars over this transgender Bud Light ad campaign snafu that they did. $28 billion. Target has lost $10 billion. And if every single Christian in America would stop buying anything with a Disney logo on it, they would get the message really, really quickly. Dennis is asking, how much of an impact will these boycotts have since they are all backed by BlackRock? Well, ultimately, if you want to be honest about this thing, ultimately, what good does a boycott do? What good does voting do? I could certainly make a case that voting is a useless exercise, and it's not who casts the vote, it's who counts the vote, and I'm a firm believer in that statement. But I continue to vote for no other reason than to aggravate the New World Order. Maybe my vote gets thrown into the trash the second that I cast it. That's fine. I'm going to go cast my vote anyway. And maybe the boycotts won't do much good. Maybe ultimately these massive, highly funded corporations will recover from the boycott. That's fine. I'm going to boycott them anyway. Do you remember the original Target boycott? And let me see if I can pull up an article from that time period. I'm thinking it was about 10 years ago. It was during the Obama years. And it had to do with the transgender bathrooms, if you guys remember that. Let me see if I can find an article from that time period. Here it is. February 9th of 2017, boycott of retail giant Target has resulted in $10 billion loss and the cancellation of two high-profile projects. So this boycott actually started in April of 2016, but this is the oldest article that I can easily get my hands on from the archive about the original Target boycott. Now, it didn't put them out of business, but it made life a whole lot tougher for the Target people. They didn't change their ways, because here we are in 2023, And they have those tuck bathing suits that we talked about 2 weeks ago. But I never went back to shopping at Target from the original boycott in 2016. So what good do the boycotts do? They make me feel better. What good does voting do? It makes me feel better. Whether or not that actually accomplishes something, I really couldn't tell you. But all I know is that we are called to stand in the gap, and we are called to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. And that's what we're called to do, and that's what we need to do. So I just wanted to bring this to your attention today, that Disney, an enormous influential corporate force, not just in America, but around the world, and they are using that influence to groom and recruit children. Why on earth would you put a pride jumpsuit on a baby in a crib? Why would you do that? Well, why did Adolf Hitler have his Hitler Youth Program? He became chancellor in 1933, but he started his Hitler Youth Program in 1921. And all those teenagers who were 12, 13, 14, 15, by the time he became chancellor, they were all in their mid to late 20s. They were at the peak of their strength and power as a young person. And there were 3 million Hitler Youth people. It took them a while to indoctrinate them. It took them about 12 or 13 years to groom all those kids. But when you watch those old movies and newsreels, and you see the massive show of strength and support that Adolf Hitler had, and you say to yourself, where did all these millions of people come from? 3 million of them came from the Hitler Youth Program. And so Adolf Hitler understood that if you're going to take over society, you have to have the generation that's coming up. And so that's what Disney and Target and all these other corporations started doing 10 years ago. The last time that I worked in corporate America was 2013. And I worked for Citibank. And Citibank is one of the largest credit card retailers in the entire world. And I worked on one of their largest credit card processing websites. It was a great job. It was a prestigious job, and it paid me a lot of money. I made six figures when I worked that job, and I worked there for a number of years. Well, in the last year that I was at Citibank, they went whole hog with their promotion of the LGBTQ plus movement. And they began to offer incentives and things to people that if they would come out of the closet, they would be richly rewarded by Citibank. And so what happened was the entire climate began to change at Citibank. And I began to get emails asking if I am a supporter or a friend or an ally of the LGBTQ plus movement. And I was transferred to a different department that was run by a out-of-the-closet lesbian. And within a matter of weeks, I was fired from that job because of my stance for Now the End Begins. That was 10 years ago. And here we are 10 years later in 2023. And corporate support and promotion of the LGBTQ plus movement is figured in the billions and billions and billions of dollars. It is an overwhelming, influential, and powerful force. And the main company leading the charge is the family-friendly Walt Disney, who has multi-generations of people, and they're doing in a different way and with different tools, but in principle, it's exactly the same thing. Corporate America has created an LGBTQ youth program. It started about 10 years ago. And all of those kids that they have been grooming, they're now in their mid-20s, their late 20s. And some of those people are running for office, and they're becoming congresspeople and senators. And they're becoming mayors and governors. Now, what does this have to do with the Bible? I'm glad you asked. Turn to Luke chapter 17, where we started. Let's do a little Bible study, shall we? Luke chapter 17, verse 28. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But in the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So, the Gospel of Luke tells you that the time of Jacob's trouble is going to be like the days of Noah, and that means fallen angels, unidentified flying objects, giants. That's what the days of Noah represent. And then Luke also tells you that the time of Jacob's trouble is going to be like the days of Lot. Sodom, Gomorrah, Lot having sex with his two daughters and creating the incestuous line that became the Edomites and the Moabites. And this is why we are seeing what we're seeing. This is why we are seeing such a rise in wickedness and LGBT, and they're targeting children. Now, somebody had said at the start, and I forget who posted this. It might have been Jan Lacker. But somebody asked the question about how much longer is God going to allow this type of behavior to continue? And that's a question that I get a lot. God is not allowing this behavior to happen. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. God is not allowing this behavior to happen. God is causing this behavior to happen. And let me show you what I mean by that. And this is why you can't really effectively pray against it. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul talks about something that's going to come upon the whole world after the rapture. And remember, the Gospels say that the time of Jacob's trouble is going to be like the days of Noah. Well, the days of Noah start when Enoch is raptured. And Enoch is a type of the Christian who never sees death. So, before the flood, before the tribulation, Enoch is removed in a one-man rapture. And that is also part of the days of Noah. So in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says this in verse 8, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, rejecting the gospel, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Turn to Revelation chapter 6. Turn to Revelation chapter 6. And I want you to see how Antichrist comes on the scene. Revelation 6, verses 1 and 2. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. You will notice that the opening of the very first seal is done by Jesus Christ himself. So when you see all of this wickedness that's taking place, when you see all of these things that are happening, it's very tricky to pray against it when you realize that it is God who is preparing the world to receive Antichrist. Now, if that may sound like a wild statement, but turn to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And let's look at the first couple of verses. Revelation 5. And let's look at the first five verses. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Now keep your finger in Revelation 5:4 and go to Daniel chapter 12. And I'll show you this book from Revelation 5. And let's look at Daniel 12 verses 1 through 4. And at that time, the time of Jacob's trouble, shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as was never since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people, the Jewish people, shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Now I said all that to say this, Daniel 12:4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now go back to Revelation chapter 5, and let's read verse 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof." The very first seal is the revealing of Antichrist that happens immediately after the rapture of the church. Now, if you think about all these verses that I just gave you, and if you'll do a Bible study and cross-reference every one of these verses that I just gave you, you will see clearly that everything that's happening in America and around the world is happening because God is preparing the world to receive Antichrist, and it's going to be Jesus himself that is going to take the pleasure. You got to wrap your mind around this now. Jesus Christ is going to take that seven-sealed book from Revelation 5. He is going to open it because he is the only one that can. And it is Jesus Christ himself that is going to unleash Antichrist. And this is what is going to happen. Turn to Isaiah 10:5. Turn to Isaiah 10:5. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. And I will send him against an hypocritical nation. This is Revelation 6, verses 1 and 2. I will send him against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge, to take the spoil and to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Are you starting to see why praying to God that all this will stop is not going to make it stop? Because we are living in this period of time that has been prophesied that these things would begin to take place. And so when you see companies like Disney that at one time were family friendly, who are now recruiting babies in the crib with Pride merchandise, and public schools that are leading 10-year-old kids to get chemically castrated and have gender-altering surgeries without their parents knowing about it. Now, look, I believe in standing up against it. We haven't changed our position in 14 years. We talk about these things. We tell you that they're happening. We show you from the Bible why these things are taking place. But they cannot be stopped. They cannot be stopped. Jose says, the day that we are raptured, and while in heaven, are we going to be erased of our past memories? The answer is absolutely not. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. That's a great question. Wouldn't it be great if today was the rapture? And that would be great, and I'm all for it. There is nothing in this life that I would take over the rapture. Nothing. Nothing. All my kids are saved. I'm ready to go. There is nothing that is holding me here to this life. If God said, all right, as soon as the podcast is done, in the next 10 minutes, we're going to have the rapture. Fine with me. But when we get to heaven and we go through the judgment seat of Christ and we go to the marriage of the Lamb, Jose is asking, what happens to all of our memories? Well, let me show you where those memories are taken care of. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Jose is asking, when are all these sentimental memories of our earthly life removed from us? Well, we got to go through the rapture. We got to go through the judgment seat of Christ. We got to go to the marriage of the Lamb. The earth has got to go through the start of the time of Jacob's trouble and the revelation of Antichrist and the mark of the beast, and the time of the great tribulation, and the battle of Armageddon, And then we come back in Revelation 19:14 with Jesus Christ on white horses. And Revelation says in chapter 1 and chapter 5 that we will rule and reign as kings and priests of our God. And if you're saved today, that's what we're going to be doing for 1,000 years as King Jesus sits on the throne of David in Jerusalem, according to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, and Luke chapter 1, verse 32. And then after the 1,000 years is all done, there's the battle of Gog and Magog. And then after the battle of Gog and Magog, there's the great white throne judgment, and all the unsaved dead, including Satan and his devils, are cast into the lake of fire. And then, 1 Peter chapter 3, God creates a new heaven and a new earth. And then, New Jerusalem comes down from God out of heaven. It is at that point, Revelation 21 verse 4, that the memories that we have and the sentimental attachments and the idea of my mom or your mom or my kid or your kid burning in the lake of fire, all those things will be taken away from our mind. I don't know how God will do that, but I know that the Bible declares he will absolutely do that. And I don't know about you, but I have unsaved loved ones who have died. And that type of stuff eats at me, and it bothers me, and sometimes it brings tears to my eyes. Can you imagine eternity and you're still recalling unsaved family members burning in hell? That would be terrible. And that's why God takes away all those memories, all those thoughts, all those feelings. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. So, let's end on a high note today. I mean, we kind of already are. We're talking about New Jerusalem. We're talking about eternity. We're talking about the last judgment on sin and God taking away all of our tears. And I'm looking forward to that day very, very, very much. Because in my life, I have shed a lot of tears in my life. And I'm looking forward to the day when those tears will be dried by God himself. And I know that all of you are as well. So, with all of this that we talked about today, what are we supposed to do in the meantime? We are supposed to stand on the front lines of the end times and proclaim Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. That's what we're supposed to do. And so what do? We do the Bible studies. We do the podcast. We do the Sunday service. We send out free Bibles to anybody who asks for one in any country on the face of the earth. We sent out over 130 individual Bibles, most of them the Ruckman Reference Bibles, just last month, to about a dozen different countries, 130 people. And we sent regular King James Bibles to thousands and thousands and thousands of people. We've been talking about Pride Month, but this month in June, we are launching our Are You Saved billboard campaign. And it's costing us thousands of dollars, but we're putting up beautifully designed, massive billboards that ask people, are you saved? And then gives them Romans 10:13. The first one went up last week in Baton Rouge. One's going up 2 weeks from now in Bradenton, Florida. Two are going up in St. Augustine, Florida next week. And we are hoping to get many, many more up. So we don't sit around. We're not crying about this lost and dying world, because we got a job to do, and we got to get God's word into the hands of as many people as we possibly can. So when you support our free Bible program, when you support our Bibles Behind Bars program, when you support our gospel witness billboard program, you are doing something about this end times wickedness like Walt Disney that is rising like the water in the boiler room of the Titanic. It is rising swift, fast, and furiously. And we are standing in the gap, and we're sending out Bibles and putting up billboards and doing Bible studies that go out all around the world. And when you pray for this program and when you donate to these programs, we are able to get something done on a global level that is absolutely bearing fruit for God here and now, and will continue to bear fruit for God after we leave in the rapture. So please pray for these programs, and if God has prospered you, please go to BiblesBehindBars.com or go to NowTheEndBegins.com and make a financial donation so that we continue to expand our witness and our outreach to a lost and dying world. And to me, that's the best way to deal with all of this craziness that's happening, is that we get the Bible out, we witness Jesus Christ, and God is going to honor that, and he is going to bless that. Please remember to keep baby Beckham in your prayers. And he lost a pound, and please continue to pray for baby Beckham. Mike Hensel is going to be having knee surgery next week. Please pray for Trisha and her hip situation. Gail Comfort is having hip surgery on June 13th, as is my friend Ethan. So there's lots to pray for. Please remember our NTEB family. And with that, we have come to the end of our broadcast today. I'm going to be taking a two-week holiday. And on Saturday, I'm going to be getting married. And please keep me and Lori Ann in your prayers. I can't remember ever having 2 weeks off. But my children are coming in starting this week, and I haven't seen two of my kids in over 2 years. And I just really want to be present in the moment. So Lord willing, we will see you back here June 19th. Mark your calendars, June 19th, Lord willing. We will return from hiatus with a Prophecy News podcast. Thank you, everybody, for your prayers and well wishes. Lori and I really appreciate that very, very much. And Lord willing, we'll see you back here in 2 weeks. To the fight, everybody. To the fight.
Before you, opening to the sun above. Joyful, joyful, we adore you, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before you, opening to the sun. Sadness, drive the dark of doubt.